ladies and gentlemen, Merle D. Arbein said, "How can you hope to meet with those whom you love near Christ in heaven, unless with them you seek Christ on earth? How shall you assemble as a family there if you have not as a family assembled here on earth or attended to heavenly things here below? But as to the Christian family, which shall have been united in Jesus, it will, without doubt, meet around the throne of the glory of God, whom it will have loved without having seen." Can somebody thank God for Merle? Amen, somebody. I like that real good. Join me on this beautiful Sunday morning, and it's beautiful. Weather is overcast as it is here and foggy. It's beautiful if it's sunshiny where you are. And oh, what a beautiful day we had in February in the state, the great state, the God-blessed state of Texas, one of my home states, and probably the state that I will die in and be buried in. Oh, what a beautiful day we had in Fort Worth, Texas on yesterday. People were out and about, walking, running, jogging in beautiful weather, bright sunshine, a glorious time. And whatever the case, even if it's snow on the ground where you are, it's still a beautiful day. And so join us in praying together with meaning and in sincerity the Lord's Prayer, which is in truth the disciples' prayer. Our Father, together, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. As we continue to deal with in every devotional, the family verses. I call Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6 the family verses. Before my wife and got married, these are the verses I was referring to when I told her either we're going to do it the Bible way or no way. That means all bets are off if we're not going to both do it the Bible way. We can't do it your parents' way because that didn't work. That was a mess. And we can't do it my parents' way because that didn't work. That was a mess. We still love and respect our parents, but it was not biblical. And when you learn better, you ought to do better. Can somebody say amen? And so I made that very clear before we got married. And I meant that thing. That means if we don't do it the Bible way, then there's going to be problems. And I'm not going to be the kind of person who is going to try to sweep the problems under the rug and be lying to the children and hiding stuff and letting you disrespect me in front of the children, and then you want me to handle your mess privately. No, we're not going to do that. first of all, because I knew a lot about what was going on as a child in the family, even though they would try to spell things out. They forgot that they taught me how to spell. I could spell what they're saying, and I can overhear what they're saying. And I found the things when they were at work that I should not have found in the house. So children are not, I told my wife from Jump Street, children are not stupid, contrary to what some parents think. And what they may not understand while they're children, they will grow up and understand whether or not it was wrong or right. Children are not stupid. So we're not going to be hiding stuff. We're not going to be doing stuff that we have to hide. You people don't want any help. I'm trying to help you. We hid things and so forth. Well, that's what you did. That's a problem. That's your problem. But your children already know. They will never tell you to your face, but they already know what's going on. They know what you're doing. They know what you're hiding and trying to cover up, because they heard you in the dark and black night while you thought they were asleep. They saw the pornography magazines that were hidden in your drawer. They saw you go to a hotel room with a man who did not look like your father, or a woman who did not look like your mother. They saw you while they were coming home from high school. So, you know, they already know what's happening. They'll never tell you. And most of them will never hold it over your head. But they know, my beloved. They're not stupid. Children are not stupid. Even if your child has a medical issue, listen to me very carefully. Even if your child has a medical issue, your child knows whether or not you love her or him, parents. Even your dog knows whether or not you love her or him. Stop thinking that people are stupid, that children are stupid. Stop thinking that even your pets are stupid. They can see right through you. I know you may not believe that because you're out of touch with God. You're not right with God. And so you don't believe, you think people are as ignorant as you are. They're not. And also, stop trying to fool the old ladies in the church. Stop going up there complaining about your husband, and you know how it is, and lying and all of this right here, and complaining to the pastor about your wife and this and that and the other and so forth and so on. They can see right through your mess. They were born again and they have gifts from God that can, before you say three words, they know where you're coming from. And either they will shut you down, or they will, the name, lights, they will shut you down, or they will say this right here to you. These are not words, but they'll say this to you. See, they're professional people who do that right there. Okay? They get paid to do that right there, right there. What? And they don't believe anything you're saying, but they're gonna rap back. What? He did that? Ooh. And don't let them be with the other sisters. They'll look at each other, and with their eyes, they'll say, she is lying. I mean, they won't say that out loud. They say that with their eyes and with their nose, with the facial expression. This witch is lying. That man is not doing all that. But with a very sincere face, looking. Oh, honey. Oh, my. We'll be praying for you now. Yeah. You run along and go ahead and make sure you're doing your job. We'll be praying for you. We hope that things get better. Stop thinking you can fool the people at the church. You can't. They have what they call, what the Bible calls discernment. Discernment means we do not have to waste our time listening to a whole bunch of dribble and a whole bunch of garbage because we already know what the situation is. Because God told us the situation, we don't have to hear it from you. We already knew about it. We already know about it. We already know what's going on. We knew it before. You knew it. So sit down. That's what discernment does. It saves us time. And God has gifted people in the church with that. Have you ever listened to Dave Ramsey? Does Dave Ramsey have discernment? And listen, he does not have a whole lot of time on that radio broadcast. He knows it. And somebody called with some little half-baked, half-cocked story and trying to lie to him and so forth. And he say, "Okay, how much? What's your yearly income?" "Well, okay. You're not making that much money, are you? Okay. All right then. Are you working a job right now?" "Well, I'm in between. I'm an entrepreneur." That means you're broke. That means you don't have a job. You're an entrepreneur. Okay. Okay. So you don't have a job. Okay. So he'll say, while you're being an entrepreneur, you need to get a job and stop paying these bills now. Okay. All right. God bless you now. Have a good day. He's gone. Okay? He cuts right through the mess. Right through the lies. He knows you're lying. You know, he doesn't have time for that. So there are many people in the church who have discernment. And oftentimes people who want to come with a long hee-haw, mee-maw story don't like these kind of folk. Because they cut to the chase. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself light and equal and gave himself for it. Verse 26, we are moving ever so slowly along to verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Dr. David Guzik writes in his Enduring Word commentary of the Bible. I like that title, by the way, Light in the Back. He says, when Jesus gave himself for the church on the cross, it also provided cleansing from every stain of sin. Since the work of Jesus on the cross comes to us through the Word of God and the preached Word of God, it can be said that we are washed of water by the Word. When Paul wrote the washing of water by the Word, he used the ancient Greek word rhema. It is true that rhema is not quite the same as logos, but carries with it the definite sense of the spoken word. It may have the sense of truth as proclaimed, the preached word or the preached gospel. There is something cleansing about being under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Amen, somebody. And that's why some of you who are listening to me ought to be on your way to church right now. Yeah, you can listen to me in your car. Take whatever device with you, or if you have a newfangled car, you have me right there on your dash. Just go to Spreaker.com or whatever, Spreaker, and type my name in and boom. There I is. Listen to me on your way to church. Why? Because you need to be under the sound of the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of the Word of God. This is a devotional. It's good. It will help you. But you need to be under the direct preaching of the Word of God at a Bible-believing church. We're not talking about folks who play in church. And they're more concerned about what kind of skirt they have on and whether or not their shoes have red bottoms. That's not what we're talking about. And what kind of car they're driving up in. And by the way, nobody notices your car in church. Nobody cares about that. So if you're trying to impress people in church, in a real church, they don't even know what kind of car you drive. And they're not looking at the bottom of your shoes. Anyway, back to the commentary. This speaks of Jesus' work for the church. Obviously, a husband cannot spiritually cleanse his wife the same way Jesus cleanses the church. Yet a husband can take an active, caring interest in his wife's spiritual health. Amen, somebody. Oh yes, he better. I believe with all of my heart that I've had as a husband a more direct impact on my wife's spiritual development. However much that is. Because for many years she resisted my teaching her the word. And preaching to her the word. I have read the word of God with her every day of our marriage. Not only this passage, but the entire Bible. And I expounded the word of God as I read it in our devotions. But not only that, I made sure that my wife had every book on the subject of being a good Christian woman, a good wife, a good mother. And I exposed her to some of the greatest women who ever walked the earth. Elizabeth Elliot. And I'm a Baptist preacher, make no mistake about it. But I believe that Joyce Myers, and I know some of you will disagree, some of my conservative brothers and sisters in Christ, I believe that Joyce Myers has been more of a help to women in the church and to their husbands, not directly speaking to the husbands, but to the women, by telling women, get over yourself. Stop living your life by your feelings and your emotions and writing blogs about your husband, and get in there and wash those dishes and enjoy everyday life. Amen, somebody. Get over yourself. And if you're not happy washing dishes and washing clothes and changing diapers, you'll never be happy. And she's been through the ultimate hell. And she has been, God has used her. Listen to me, she's been through the ultimate hell. Unbelievable. Hellacious situation. Let me put it this way, where she had to forgive her father of demonic atrocities. So let me just say it like that. And if God can give her the victory, and you have never been through anything like what she's been through, and put a joy in your heart that she has, a peace that passes all understanding, and look good while you're doing it, and not even trying to be a Billy Graham, but she is a Billy Graham, at least to the women of this country and around the globe. She's not even trying to be it. It just God just gave it to her. You can like it, lump it, or choke on it. I can care less. She's a bad woman for the glory of God. And again, for my white brethren who said, what? She's bad. That means very good. That's Negro vernacular for very good. Okay? So just calm down. I love her. because she has stood up to women in their mess. She has stood up to women and said, no, I don't want to hear that. I'm a woman too, and I've been through hell and back. But because of Jesus, but because of the Word of God, I have the victory. I'm not sad. I'm not defeated. I'm not disgusted. She said, I used to be, but then I started obeying the Word of God. And I'm happy in Jesus, and you can be too. And some of the women have their mouth open looking, what is she talking about? She's supposed to be encouraging us as victims. No. She's trying to make women into victors. Victorious women who are not down in the dumps, excited and all emotional on Sunday, but down in the dumps on Monday and Tuesday and Blue Wednesday and Thursday and TGIF Friday. Come on, people. Sad, depressed, pitiful, emotional, up and down, not living a balanced, biblically based life. And so I encourage my wife to listen to her. You can be a strong, cheerful, joyful, godly, happy woman at all times if you choose to be. In the words of Dr. Prager, you are doing your family a disservice if you're not choosing to be happy and pleasant to be around. But then all of a sudden, guests come over. All of a sudden, you go to the church, you turn into this wonderful, doting, cheerful, joyful, happy hypocrite. Anyway, as the priest of the home, the husband helps her keep clean before the Lord. Amen, somebody. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you would heal every marriage by people, the husband and the wife, confessing their sins, their failures, their faults. The husband not choosing to love his wife, the wife not choosing to respect and obey her husband. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would deal with these issues. And we pray that revival would take place in the home by everybody in the family confessing sin and repenting. And then some wives, if they can, who divorced their husbands on a humbug, need to go back, get out of the mess that they're in, the false, fake marriage that they're in, and go back to their husband. And those same husbands who have done the same to their wives, and they got this mixed up mess with two sets of children going back and forth, one to New York one week and the next one going to California, all kinds of confusion of face and mess going on. And they both know they're wrong. If they're Christians, they ought to repent and go back to their mates, if that is even possible, and try to work things out. Lord, heal, correct every marital situation in the house of God, and help people to apologize, confess their sins, admit their wrong, and change their wicked and evil ways, and help husbands to stop trying to live off of an emotional fake love, and choose to love their wives regardless of the situation. And till death do them part. And then, Lord, help wives to stop living off of their emotions and choose to obey the Word of God, as Joyce Myers and others, other women, have taught. And we pray that you would bless the children. I know for a fact that even if the home is hellacious, the children want the parents to stay together until death do them part. Lord, I lived and was raised in a hellacious family situation. But for some reason, it would have been more devastating to me, as big and as strong as I am, if they had gotten divorced and went off and married other people. I don't know why that is, Lord, but I am so thankful, and I told my parents so, that my parents stayed together until my dad died. And that means a lot to me. I can't even put my finger on it. I don't know why. That means a lot to me, but it does. And as rough and tough and as rebellious as I was as a teenager, not only did I want my parents to stay together, I wanted my parents deep down in my soul to put their foot down on me and not let me have my way. But they didn't know any better. They thought the way was to try to appease me. And when you try to appease a devil and a hellion and a rebellion, they're going to just want more and more and more, just like the devil does. And so, Lord, help parents to understand that today. That it is extremely important that they stay together, even if they don't speak, even if they sleep in separate bedrooms. It is so important that they stay together in that family and raise those children together, instead of a divorced situation where the children are so-called split between them. And they have them 1 week, they have them 1 weekend, they have them the next week, all kind of stupid, ungodly arrangements like that. It would mean so much to those children. They would rather stay in a marriage that's not wonderful, a family, than to be split up like that and going between so-called stepmoms and stepdads, and got to hug them and respect them and all kinds of stupid stuff like that. And so help them to realize how important that is, and help them to understand that rebellious teenager, that rebellious child, that they think there's no hope for, they deep down really want you to put your foot down and say, no, you can't have the car, you're going to stay home. Will they pitch a fit? Will they slam the door? Yes. But that's okay. Trust me. They want you to stay together, and they want you to put your foot down and control them and make them do what they're supposed to do. And they will thank you for it down the road, as I did, even though my parents didn't do it. But I thank them for staying together, and I thank them for the good that they did do. And I did that before they died, before my father died. And so, Lord, we give you the glory, praise, and honor. Help us, Lord, to all do that. And help Christian couples who are about to divorce stay together, yes, for your glory, praise, and honor, but yes, also for their children's sake. They will never regret it, for this is your original plan. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, my beloved, please join me in reading our devotional Bible passage. Yes, we always read the family verses, Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. If you have issues in your family, this will be good for you to do. Somebody may not like it. My wife has admitted she didn't like it much of the time, because it was such a conviction to her, but I kept on doing it. And you need to do it. If you have issues in your family, sir, ma'am. But we also read the entire Bible together. We also read other passages in the Bible, a certain book, or whatever the case might be, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And we've been on Psalms since we started this particular public devotional. And looks like we might be able to finish this by day 365. If the Lord tarries his coming and we live. Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Now, beloved, regarding this passage, Matthew Henry writes, glorious things are here spoken of Christ. Not only is he superior to all the kings of the earth, he exists in glory as the eternal Son of God. We have here the Redeemer saving his friends and comforting them. The wrath of God running in the curse of the law may be considered as the brook in the way of his undertaking. Christ drank of the waters of affliction in his way to the throne of glory. But he shall be exalted. What then are we? Once we knew not our need of his salvation, and we are not willing that he should reign over us. Are we willing to give up every sin, to turn from a wicked, ensnaring world, and rely only on his merits and mercy, to have him for our prophet, our priest, and our king? And do we desire to be holy? To those who say yes, the Savior's sacrifice, the Savior's intercession, and the Savior's blessing belong. Amen, somebody. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And as is the case with much of your holy word, we have to read it much slower than what we did today to really get everything. And every round we take through your holy word, I would imagine that by your grace over 40 years, I've read through the Psalms hundreds of times. But every time I read through the Psalms, Lord, I get more and more at every round, and that's been the case all of these years. And by your grace and by your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to grow thereby, help us to be obedient ourselves to your Holy Word and to not take it lightly. And Lord, to prepare us for that day when we will leave this earth and go into your presence, not because of any good in us, but because of your love and your grace and your mercy. In Jesus Christ's name, we continue to pray over the estates and over our devotional prayer list. We pray, Holy Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for your church first and foremost, Lord, help us to repent. Revive us again. But Lord, help us first to get on revival ground. By confessing our sins, turning from our wicked ways, humbling ourselves, seeking your face, and praying. Help us to get back to your principles, to your holy word, back to the old landmarks, and help us to get back to you, Lord Jesus. For as the Israelites forsook you, God, we have forsaken you as the Israel of God, if you will, in these modern times. And we have forsaken you, Lord Jesus, the head of the church. And you have told us very clearly that about the three R's, we need to repent, we need to repeat, and we need to return. We need to repent of our sins. We need to repeat the good works we used to do with a pure heart. And we need to return to you, Lord Jesus, our first love. And so help us to do that today in your church. And Holy Father God, we pray your special anointing and unction and power upon all of your preachers, not only myself here today, but all of your preachers who will be preaching and proclaiming your holy word today. And we pray that souls will be saved all across America and around the globe in spite of ourselves by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit. We also pray for the president and all governmental leaders based upon your holy word. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We do pray for President Donald Trump and his administration and his family. We pray for the FBI director that he would see the handwriting on the wall and that he would resign. We pray, Lord, for others to humble themselves and resign because of the tragedy of those innocent lives being blown away by a professed demoniac, a person who told the world and told on videotape that he was hearing voices and that he wanted to kill people at a school. And Lord, I believe other officials need to resign. They have failed not only these children, but they have failed these families. We do pray for Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including the Director for the Office of Public Liaison, George Safakis, all leaders of federal agencies, including Corporation for National and Community Service, Director Kim Mansouri, all state governors, including New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, all city mayors, including Lexington, Kentucky Mayor Jim Gray, all members of Congress, including California Representative Ro Khanna, all law enforcement officials, including Santa Ana, California Police Chief David Valentin, all military leaders, including General Ellen M. Palikowski, Commander of Air Force Material Command, leaders of nations around the world, as well Ethiopia's President Mulatu Teshome, and Prime Minister Haile Mariam Desalegn, the peace. We also pray for Benjamin Netanyahu, a modern-day David. We thank you for his service And we thank you for how you have used him to keep the peace in Jerusalem and in Israel through through might and through faith, and by those believers who are praying to you around the world that he has embraced, which includes millions upon millions of Christians. Holy Father God, as we continue in prayer, we pray for the people. We pray for the citizens, particularly in Parkland, Florida, as well as the state of Florida and across this country. The tragedy is that the cameras will leave by tomorrow. The news reporters will leave by tomorrow. And for the most part, and these families will be never heard of again. And most people will forget about the pain of that these families will go through for decades and generations. And we pray that you would comfort them as only you can. And we pray that you would help those families and those individuals who have the gift of mercy to do all they can to help alleviate some of the pain. And we pray for those people who only see this as a news story and who do not care at all for these people and what they're going through and what they will go through for many, many years. Every Christmas, every birthday, every time they pass by a Chuck E. Cheese that they took the children to when they were little, buildings that they went to, zoos that they went to, will have a much bigger space in their lives. And we pray that you'll be with them as they break down from time to time. We also pray for the traditional media, which is going down the drain for the most part, and then the new media that is rising. And we pray that you would save them all and fill them with your Holy Spirit. Those who are saved, revive those who are saved, save those who are lost, and lead, guide, and direct them to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help them, God. And we pray that you would help them to cease making the news about them and to cease trying to push an agenda and making up false stories. We also pray for the current events around the world. We pray to you about them. We commit these things and these people into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. There's no real way that we can help them other than the things you tell us to do by sending money to the GoFundMe page and stuff like that. But real comfort comes from you. We pray for the comfort of the families and community affected by the deadly high school shooting in Florida, which left 17 dead and 14 wounded, and probably more. We pray for the comfort of the family of the 14-year-old girl who was killed in a drive-by shooting in Dallas, Texas. And we pray for the situation where people were at a restaurant in Dallas this past week, and there was a shooting and a killing. Comfort those families who are still hurting today. We pray for the comfort of the family of a father and son who were killed in Missouri, and for the recovery of his daughter and niece who were critically injured in a stabbing attack. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have sent in prayer requests, but we pray for the hundreds of people who have sent in prayer requests, and we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings upon all of them hear and answer all of their prayers, hear and answer our prayers for them as well. And Lord, we pray for Robbie. We pray for a few others who have sent in prayer requests by name. We pray for Robbie. Please provide the finances for village trips and Bibles. We pray for Eric. Please bless his ministry with the right sound equipment. Provide them with the resources to win souls. Bless them with Bibles and an abundance of money to build a church building. We pray for Edmund. Please save his bosses. Stir up the hearts of his family for ministry, for repentance and cleansing in the church, for wisdom in his work. We pray for Alina. Please deliver her from all demonic forces that paralyze her. Save her neighbor and mother. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior through this ministry. We pray for Serena, we pray for Sib, and we pray for Anoxin. Help these to grow in the faith and be the strong Christians you want them to be. Help us to forever be, as long as we live, the disciplers of the disciples that you want us to be. We also pray for those who have recommitted their lives to Christ. We pray for Michelle, Latanja, and Fumi, and help these to stay strong in the faith and not go back into the wilderness of backsliding. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Beloved, our devotional reading for today is titled Dwell at the Well by none other than Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Genesis 25:11 says, Isaac dwelt by the well Lahairoi. Hagar had once found deliverance there. And Ishmael had drank from the water so graciously revealed by the God who liveth and seeth the sons of men. And it needs to be brightened to the top. But this was a merely casual visit, such as worldlings pay to the Lord in times of need. When it serves their turn, they cry to him in trouble, but forsake him in prosperity. My God, my God. We do that today, don't we? However, Isaac dwelt there and made the well of the living and all-seeing God his constant source of supply. The usual tenor of a man's life, the dwelling of his soul, is the true test of his state. Perhaps the providential visitation experienced by Hagar struck Isaac's mind. Perhaps his meeting Rebecca there had made his spirit feel at home near the spot. But best of all, the fact that he there enjoyed fellowship with the living God had made him select that hallowed ground for his dwelling. Let us learn to live in the presence of the living God. Let us pray the Holy Spirit that this day and every other day we may feel, Thou God seest me. May the Lord Jehovah be as a well to us, delightful, comforting, unfailing, springing up unto eternal life. The bottle of the creature cracks and dries up, but the well of the Creator never fails. Happy is he who dwells at the well, and so has abundant and constant supplies near at hand. And somebody said, Amen. Holy Father God, we thank you for this time together. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to remember as much of it as you want us to remember, so that we will do it, more importantly, so that we will not only be hearers of your word, but doers, not only momentarily encouraged, but permanently changed. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you are with us today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the free pardon of your sins so that you can be saved from hell and saved to heaven, if you don't know whether or not you would go to heaven if you were to die today, and we have seen this past week that you can die at any moment, allow me to show you how you can put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation from sin and the punishment of sin, which is hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin always. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. As I speak, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now that is bad news. What I mean by that is hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you, because heaven is good news, and how to get there is the truly good news. It's called the gospel. Jesus Christ preached on the gospel better than anybody else, or preached the gospel better than anybody in the history of the world. Nobody made it plainer. Nobody made it simpler than Jesus Christ, the God-man, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, dear friend, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today with all of your heart, and believe that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you and for me and everybody in the world, and pray and ask him to save you, I assure you that God will have mercy upon your soul and save your soul. Follow me as I lead you in praying to God regarding your soul's salvation. Phrase by phrase, repeat after me and mean it from your heart, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life of following and to follow you in the new life, eternal life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer.
The truth. home and fulfill the prophecy. I know that everything is gonna be alright. He's coming back. He said he would.
Get ready for peace, love, and happiness.
I know he's coming back.
Just like he said he would.